This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hello, our listeners from all over and perhaps even all over the world. It's a really a great privilege to be speaking to you again. And as we had said in our previous week, we are going to be talking about Christ-centered recovery and restoration for this month. And today we have a wonderful guest with us, Trevor, and he has a consulting business in construction, and he's a pastor. And he's going to be sharing with us some of his experiences with regards to a Christ-centered recovery and restoration. Very, very welcome, Trevor. It's so good to have you with us.
It's great to be with you, Frederick. Thank you for the opportunity.
So,
a little bit with you.
Yeah, so Trevor, you know, it's always very interesting to hear how somebody landed at the place where they are. And you have been in a Christ-centered recovery and restoration group for a while now. How did you get to that point?
Well, Frederick, you know, I always have this thing about, you know, I'm always asking the Lord, how did I end up here today? I even asked him, how did I end up on this program? And I think it's God's providence, you know. God's providence leads us through many things.
Yeah.
You know, even when our house burns out, doesn't mean that His love and His purpose for us doesn't continue. Continues through those things. So how I ended up here, I always wanted to help people. And in wanting to help people, I discovered that I myself needed that help as well. I too am broken.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Trevor.
So you're a pastor as well. How long have you served as a pastor?
Well, when people call me pastor, I think it's more like pastoral. But I we ran our church for 5 years, and I pastored a biker's church. And then we decided with another biker's church, oh, we're doing the same thing, so let's just take the whole congregation over and just put everything under one umbrella. And as life would have it, I was there for 2 years, and then I stumbled on Celebrate Recovery, a Christ-centered program.
How did that happen?
It was during lockdown, or should I say the pandemic. And I thought to myself, the churches are locked down, but how can we help people? And then I met somebody we knew about this program, and I said, I would like to see what it's all about. And we found that even during lockdown, we could interact with people in their homes, you know, and doing this program called Celebrate Recovery.
So the CR program is about people with hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Did you join it just to help other people, or did you join it also because of your own hurts, hang-ups, and habits?
I must admit, I've never heard of Celebrate Recovery. And when somebody told me about it, I was really intrigued. And I thought, well, this could be something that we've been looking for a long time to help people, especially if they said it was a structured program, you know, and it was Christ-centered. And that put my ears up because there are lots of programs out there that are just, you know, recovery programs, but this one being Christ-centered, this one really got me going. And I thought, you know what, I must admit, that was the reason I went there, to go help other people.
But we all have our own hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Can you identify with that?
Absolutely. I've discovered things that I've stored away, even as a pastor, as a leader. I've hidden those things away. And the Celebrate Recovery, you know, it just brought it out in me. I had the confidence, and I had the space, the anonymity and confidentiality, and a safe place to start to unpack those little things in my life that that I thought I'd dealt with many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I see I have a better perspective now in even helping other people.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about celebrate recovery. And perhaps some people are not quite aware of what Celebrate Recovery is. It's a support group with people with hurts, hang-ups, and habits and addictions. And there's only about one-third of the people joining the group statistically that actually are moving away or living away and in a journey of recovery from addiction. So it seems it is a program that is centered around Jesus Christ as the healer and the one that is making us whole. And it's making us whole from our own hurts and how we've hurt and harmed other people, our hang-ups, you know, maybe I'm angry or maybe I've got some habits that I want to get rid of. So that is what Celebrate Recovery is about. It's not about just addictions, but getting down to the root of our hang-ups and hurts and those type of things. So, you know, you as a pastor probably had quite a few conversations with people that had possibly hurt hang-ups or habits. What has been your experience around that?
Well, I believe, you know, without Christ, nothing is going to change, obviously, and biased from that perspective. And here's a program that is Christ-centered and introducing it to people and telling them what it's all about is you know, they kind of like take to it instantaneously.
Mm.
And many that I have spoken to have actually joined Celebrate Recovery, and they found it a great help.
Mm.
There are obviously those who have joined and realized they have to work on themselves too.
Yeah,
and some of them, unfortunately, they continue the journey of running away, not dealing with their issues.
Trevor, thank you very much. What are some of the issues that you have come across from people that have come to speak to you and ask advice and so forth?
Oh, you know, what issues don't they have? we have to come up with those ones that people don't have.
Yeah.
It's such a broad spectrum, you know, from our children. We don't even know have hang-ups, anxiety. We just hear that they under therapists, you know, and surprising to parents. But anything from a marriage, you know, and most of it stems from the child. Probably, I would say 80% of addictions or the hang-ups, you know, comes from the childhood days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, we talk now about there's a program online or a program that you can join, Celebrate Recovery. But if we talk about Christ-centered recovery, it doesn't mean you need to go to Celebrate Recovery. It's just it's a structured program of a year where you can can attend on a Thursday night, which is an open meeting where you just generally hear things about recovery. And then normally people choose to be part of a step group, like another evening. So it's two evenings then, if you would like to do that. I'm just explaining to the listeners in case they haven't heard this. For about two, or could be a morning for that sake, doesn't matter, depending on when a group is available, for 2 hours where people walk through the 12 steps. Drake, maybe you just need to tell them a little bit about the 12 steps and then we can continue with, if people don't want to do that, what would Christ recovery, Christ-centered recovery look like? Because everybody doesn't always have access to a program like that.
Yeah, thank you very much, Suki. I'd love to tell the folks a little bit about that and also just go into conversation with Trevor with regards to that. You know, we all can be in a recovery program. And Some people have called them secular programs. In other words, in programs where they talk about their higher power. And those are the groups that are not necessarily Christ-centered. But as an individual embarking on a journey of recovery, we can be very sure who our higher power is, and that is Jesus Christ. And he's yeah. the one that is our healer. But let's take a break for a while, and we'll continue after the break. Welcome back, listeners. It's good to have you with us continually. And we were speaking with Trevor, and once again, good to have Trevor with us. And we were talking about recovery groups and what some people call the secular, some people call them Christ-centered groups, and some make a very clear
distinction. Just a moment, Frederick. There are two kinds of group.
Yeah.
The Christ-centered groups aren't, you know, because the secular groups are not the Christ-centered groups,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's what we are saying. Mm. So, you know, the what some people call the secular groups, which I think actually are very spiritual, but they talk there about the higher power, and they do not identify necessarily Jesus as the higher power. So a Christian can be involved in those groups like AA and Narcotics Anonymous, NA, and sex and love addiction. So there are a number of groups that people can attend, anonymous groups, support groups.
Where they can learn a lot more about those specific addictions,
yes.
right? And I know often people are really scared to do that because when they hear that word higher power, it goes, no, I don't want to do this. But we personally, Frederick and I both, and we know about many other people that really benefited from those groups as Christians and even to be a light for Jesus in those groups.
And I think what those groups do, Suki, is they guide us through the 12 steps.
Mm.
And I think the 12 steps are not only applicable when you are fighting some addiction, but our habits, our hurts, our hang-ups, we can apply those 12 steps.
Mm.
And I love the first step that says, I'm powerless over whatever I'm
struggling
looking at
with.
And struggling with a habit, and I cannot change it on my own.
Mm.
And I need to surrender and accept that my life has become unmanageable in that area of my life. And, you know, as a Christ-centered recovery group, we bring scripture into it. And then we go to Romans 7:18, which says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me." This is Paul speaking, a very holy and set-apart man. "That is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." So Trevor, how has that been true in your life?
Well, you know, I think we all need to get to a point of admitting that we live in our denials.
Yeah.
But denials that prevent us from taking that first step, I believe, Frederick.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's only when we come to realize that we need God. And as you would know, our lesson format, lesson one starts with denial and how to admit and see your denials in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And once you get past that or admit to that, we can actually then admit we were then powerless.
Yeah.
But there's a big fight, I think, in your heart and in your thoughts to address your denials and then see what the first step is saying, that we were actually powerless in many of our denials.
It's so true, Trevor. I think so often as Christians, we think, well, Jesus died for my sin and I'm okay.
Mm.
You know, I'm holy.
Yes.
He says I need to be holy as he's holy. And it's really sometimes hard to see that sin lives in us and it's crouching at our door, like the Bible also says in another place. But then fortunately, we know it doesn't end there.
Mm.
Because in Romans 8, it talks about the spirit-filled life. And this is why we have Christ-centered recovery. Because we know, because even step two of the step says, we look at God, to help us to turn away from our insanity, because we keep on doing this stuff that we says we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm.
So, Trevor, you are involved in Celebrate Recovery. So what do you see, what makes Celebrate Recovery a Christ-centered program?
The structure of the 12 steps in this format, you know, as a Christ-centered program, it's actually designed to run in a church format. So, you know, when people come through the Celebrate Recovery program, they don't just live on the program. Some people, perhaps, they just live from one program to the next.
Yeah.
But we assimilate them with the idea of assimilating them into in quotes, normal life.
Yeah.
We're plugging them into church as itself. So they're not seen as somebody as being, oh, you know, we have this issue, so we separate. So, you know, we address that and we plug them into a normal home cell, part of the worship team, you know, or whatever God is calling to do inside the church. So that's, I believe, is kind of like why it's Christ-centered, or we focus on Christ-centered, because we want to assimilate people going to Celebrate Recovery and assimilating them into the church. Because like you said, Frederick, the statistics in church itself are horrific. Nobody wants, I think that, and I'm speaking respectfully here, that leaders in church, pastors, bishops, whatever, perhaps they are also in denial of just being on in the dark in the church. And Celebrate Recovery, we have statistics for that. It's just sad that it is that way. So there's denial going on everywhere.
And Trevor, what I love about the steps, and specifically, I mean, the 12 steps, but also that we do in Celebrate Recovery, the third step is I give my life and my will over to God. And that's a big step. And then with that, the fourth one that says, I look at the things I do wrong. And I think that is so important, because like I said before, we are so inclined to say, I'm okay. But this program helps us to specifically look at the things that we keep doing, that we keep tripping over, that maybe cause our relationships to harm one another, or to harm someone else, or to hurt someone else. And that's what we all have in our marriages, our children, our relationship with our friends. And if we're not aware of that step four, what causes me to keep tripping over that same thing again and again, it actually ruins my relationships, or it affects my relationships in a way, you know. And if I can turn away from those things, because step five says I get completely ready for God to rid me of these things. That is the reason why I love this program, because it helps me to take responsibility and to look at my stuff and to ask the Lord Jesus to help me with that.
You know, Suki, so true. Yes, so Trevor?
Just copying on what you were saying, Suki, you know, I kind of like see recovery and restoration as the same thing, as going in the same direction, but they have kind of like slightly different tracks doing that. Recovery, addressing the hurts, the hang-ups, and the habits, and those are the things that block the good things in our life.
Exactly.
And then restoration would be allowing all the good things back into your life. I believe, active ingredients of our restoration, starting with recovery.
Absolutely.
Aiming at restoration.
Yeah, but Trevor, you know, we're speaking about Celebrate Recovery as a program, and it almost sounds as if it is separate from the church. So one of the recommendations or requirements for Celebrate Recovery is that it is linked to a church. But there are so few Celebrate Recoveries that are linked to a church. So that's super sad, you know, and we wonder, why is that? Why is there not a safe space in many churches? And so this is also what Celebrate Recovery is doing. It's creating that safe space where people can share their hurts, hang-ups, and habits, and work through the 12 steps. And, you know, just talking about working through the 12 steps, we eventually want to get to step 12. And step 12 says, with its biblical comparison, it says we made a decision. No, we... I got a slip up. Step 3 says we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. That's what Suki shared with us. Yeah. And then Romans 12:1 says, therefore, brothers, be merciful. By the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. And so this means that we are embarking on a journey to serve others. Where is this true in your life?
With the first part of the question, I think that, yes, it is a sad state of affairs where the church has found itself. I could have been included in that. But, you know, we're so oblivious to a lot of things when it comes to... restoring people, and, you know, we normally just pray for them and then we leave them. But we are oblivious about the journey, you know, and I think Celebrate Recovery just kind of highlights and helps us to put down an approach where we can start at the beginning and work towards a desired goal, you know. Mm. And even if you fall off the wagon, it's okay. Come back again and start again, you know. And that in itself is a huge... safe space for people get from their homes, from behind the curtain, in the dark, and out into something that's going to help them deal with those things.
Ach, and of course, you know, we're talking now about Celebrate Recovery, like that is the beginning and the end of all programs. But there are many Christ-centered recovery ways to look at that. And we do not want to say in any way that this is the only thing. And of course, any church or any program in a church that creates a safe space for people where they don't judge each other, they can be open about this and looking at giving their will over to God and ask Him to guide them and to help them is a good thing. We do not want people to think that we are just preaching Celebrate Recovery here, but because Trevor is part of that, that's why we were focusing on that. But we do acknowledge that there are churches and pastors that are aware of these things.
Thank you, Trevor, for sharing with us. You know, just something that I want to mention, and almost like a cliffhanger, is that you're also a biker and you are very involved in the biking community. But we don't have time to talk about that today. Let's talk about that next week. Thank you very, very much, Trevor, for being with us. And listeners, if you have perhaps missed this podcast or this broadcast, the podcasts are available on kpulpit.co.za/podcasts/IntoMeC. Listen to the podcasts and send it along to your friends. And please also answer and ask us questions or make remarks on Frederick Suki at kpulpit.co.za. Thank you very much for joining us and see you next week.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.